fuck the album, fuck your band, fuck everything. It's just like, you got one, two, you got time, three, four, in, and that's your, everything else doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. When you're working on one song, that's all that matters is that one song. You know what I mean? That's all that matters is that one lyric. That's all that matters is that one vocal. But this is the most important thing that I'm doing.
It's a Pixies podcast, an unvarnished, unfiltered document of the true creative process. Episode 3. Dreamland Diaries, Day 4.
We need to wear, like, lederhosen to do this.
Where?
It's the afternoon of December 4th. The winter sun is streaming in through the Dreamland Studios' stained glass windows. And the Pixies are deep into their second batch of three songs already. This morning, they recorded a song currently titled Whaleback Hill. And now, producer Tom Dalgety and bassist Paz L'Enchantin discuss the next song, This Is My Fate.
Oh, show me the way for the next whiskey bar.
Yeah.
So this morning, Joy was saying, you know, Tom was kind of wanting like a more, you know, doorsy,
yeah,
whiskey bar, and then Charles and I are like, well, it's like,
oh, it's actually not even a door song. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, oh, let's go back to like the German. Yeah. You know, maybe roots of the song, and so we played that this morning.
Yeah, maybe we have to sing it in a German accent as well, yeah.
With some... Oh, that in the dog, that's in the man.
This is mine. Let's just go for one.
Locally based music biographer Tony Fletcher was with the Pixies in the studio throughout the recording process.
Argentinian-born Paz L'Enchantin joined Pixies permanently in 2014, in time to record the group's last album, Head Carrier. A pianist and violinist, as well as a bass player, she came recommended by guitarist Joey Santiago, who'd worked with her on a side project during the years that Pixies were out of commission. Paz's comfort level within the group, as heard specifically during these studio sessions, is a paramount contributing factor towards the group's current state of positive well-being.
I think the last one's all you.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, I think it can be.
Whatever you want there.
Really?
Yeah, it's just...
All right, let's do another take.
Yeah, you could do a 3 count, a 5 count.
I'm excited.
A 7 count. You could do it whatever you want to.
A regular part of the recording process is for producer Tom Dalgety to make arrangement suggestions.
A little thing that I've thought, I think I might have even mentioned it to you, is whether the big dramatic chords at the end should be at the beginning as well.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe if it started da 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 da.
Well, put my guitar in, first of all. How can you have any fucking perspective? You don't even have my guitar in there. It just sounds like a bunch of fucking yucky ears.
Turn it up.
Turn it
up. Just before you bin this intro. That should be full on Beatle Loud. Beatle Loud. Beatle Loud. That. Anyway, having said that, I don't mind. I like those other.
Maybe have the other thing before it, even before that. So it goes.
This Is My Fate is one of at least two songs on Beneath the Eerie that has a very unusual rhythmic pattern to it, which makes it kind of very typically Pixies who specialise in such things. And to take Tom's Lederhosen reference and Paz's Kurt Weill reference, you can kind of imagine a German beer hall, people waving their steiners of lager in the air and singing along, but never quite sure if they're meant to be leaning this way or that. Later in the afternoon, the group brought David Lovering back in to add some percussion and go the whole hog on the arrangement. The other new Pixies song being worked on this afternoon is Ready for Love.
I don't mind rain, but now it won't stop. You think that I'm vain, but I'm calling your bluff. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready for love.
Exactly the vibe, Charles.
You might think I'm vain, but I'm calling your bluff. I'm ready for love. I'm ready for love.
This Is My Fate and Ready for Love may seem kind of diametrically opposed, certainly in terms of mood, you know, pessimism versus optimism, and etc. Then again, they end up next to each other on the finished album, Beneath the Eyrie. So maybe there's a yin-yang thing going on there. Both songs are somewhat outside Pixies' comfort zone. And Charles later on talked about doing this sparingly.
You don't want to like say, no, we must never be experimental, or we must never do something that's so different that we probably wouldn't even be able to replicate it live, or we would have to kind of like really reinvent ourselves to be that or whatever. You know, so it's more like keeping the records so that if we go perform the records or songs from the record that we've just made, that it's representative. It's like, oh yeah, that one. It's so that the live part of it can be a decent facsimile of the reference. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? They kind of have to echo each other.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So for us, I mean, I know it's not like that, and thank God it's not like that for everybody. You know what I mean? Because we wouldn't have all these really interesting records to listen to.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It's kind of like, that seems to be our thing.
As Ready for Love establishes its foundation, Paz comes back in to record her keeper bass lines. For this, she uses a direct input. That is, she plays straight into the mixing board without an amplifier, which allows her to sit in the control room alongside Tom and whoever else may be present. That select number includes assistant engineer Ariel Shafir, who asks Paz about the decoration on her treasured Fender Precision.
Is the flower on your bass a specific kind of flower?
One that was found on the street about 10 years ago, and it's been on my bass ever since.
Nice. That's been stomping on the street.
It's been... Well, I think it was in a way better shape then, and sure. You know, but it's like it's just been on my bass for 10 years, and it definitely has a little bit of a, you know, I was relic. Like, oh, maybe like I could change it, but I kind of like its beat up ways.
That was a great take.
Okay, good.
That was great. Let's do. Okay. Let's do another song.
Paz is solid.
Oh yeah. Can always count on Paz. Yeah, as long as there's like you know, ice pick.
You know what my secret is? You go to bed and you have like a raindrop.
Yeah.
While you're sleeping, goes tick, 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 tick.
And then you just wake up and you're like.
And then that's how you learn how to stay on the click. It's like, what do you call that? Isn't that how they torture people?
Yeah.
To get like.
Yeah.
What is it?
To make them really great musicians.
Water torture.
Yeah, it's the water torture.
It's the end of day four, and with six songs already in a decent state of assembly, the mood is understandably positive.
I don't mind the rain, but now it won't stop. I'm going insane. I don't like to mop. I'm ready for a break.
Good night, Woodstock.
Dreamland Diaries, Day 5.
Morning. Dave, are you going to track some animals or something today? Or you going to track some animals today?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Saw the eagle nest.
Did you see it?
Yeah, beautiful.
Wow. Did you see the eagle?
No.
A decade ago, eagle sightings were a rare occurrence indeed in the Catskills. When a pair nested right alongside the Ashokan Reservoir footpath, birdwatchers literally camped out for the birth. David's observation of a nest by the railroad tracks running close to that same reservoir and the studio is worthy not just of a morning greeting with Charles, but ultimately of an album title.
After finalizing the drums and bass yesterday for Whaleback Hill, This Is My Fate, and Ready for Love, the next building block is Charles's rhythm guitar. For this, Charles typically records in the isolation booth next to the control room. He and Tom begin the day by discussing their approach to Ready for Love.
So this is I'm aiming for the kind of you, Paz, and Dave to be kind of like a sort of hazy West Coast 60s kind of thing, and then Joey's going to be just rolling out barbed wire all across it, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And make it, like, I want his solo to be, like, just, like, way too loud and way too blown out and, like, but you guys still just, like, dreamy away there, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I think it'd be fun.
I think I got it.
From the top. Great to me.
Okay, cool.
Ready for Love is tracked in minutes. This Is My Fate provokes a longer discussion, however, especially when it comes to the guitar sound.
Sounds nice.
It's, you know, the sound is sort of there, but obviously,
do a take.
As long as you understand, like you saw me standing in front of
you. Yeah.
I was gonna pick a guitar sound. There's my guitar sound.
I just think I think we're on different pages with what this song requires. I want it to be a little bit more kind of reluctant and a little.
Yeah, I know, but like if I'm gonna play real quiet and reluctant, the amp has got to be set even hotter so that
you see
what I'm saying. I'm not gonna play it loud.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play it quiet, but the amp has to be loud so it can pick up all the overtones and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do a take.
Okay.
beautiful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, by the way, I got the new lyric on This Is My Fate.
Okay.
I got the new lyric on, not the lyric, I double-checked the lyric now with the
Whaleback. On Whaleback, okay, yeah.
What was the other one? Oh, and I got the Los Macheteros with the baritones.
Yeah.
I got it really early this morning. I totally redid that lyric.
Okay, great.
I'm happy with it.
Oh, because I've never even heard that
I went back to the original, one of the original versions of the lyric, and I just wrote it out, and then I got rid of 90% of it and kept like the two lines that were still,
sure,
I thought were okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's much better.
Good.
Later on, Charles would talk in more depth about the writing process.
I mean, you want to come up with the goods every time. You want everything to be great, but I wish, you know, when you're younger too, you're more impatient, you know. I'm a little more patient now, and I'm a little more like, okay, the bar is here. Mm-hmm. We can't just, because we were excited to have the bar go down here. It's like, no, we gotta.
Do you mean by that you're raising the bar on yourself?
So, the bar gets raised just gradually over time, I think. Like, first it's all spontaneous. You don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, but then you're like, oh, okay, this is what I know how to do. This is, if I can, you know, this is what I can do well, if I give myself enough time, you know, it'll have gravitas,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Have a quick tune and let's go from the top and get a full swing. Cool sounding instrument. I really like the way, because, you know, when you're playing exactly that kind of thing, you don't want the E and the B for most of it anyway, really, you know, unless mm-hmm you're playing, you know, right, all kind of barred stuff. Okay.
As you may have heard back in episode 1, Charles brought along to the studio his custom-built Vampire Tooth guitar, named for his recently removed molar that he had embedded in the headstock. Other than this visual and mildly macabre talking point, it's unusual for having just 4 strings, leaving out the top 2 you'd find on your regular 6 string. But most hard rock riffs tend to be played on the lower strings anyway.
Fun.
Yes.
That sounds good. So I'm tempted to maybe just double it up. You know when something's really big and satisfying and you think, how could it be any better?
Double it.
You probably need to double it, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Doubling it, 50-50 chance it's going to be better. 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Won't be as good. You don't know until you try. There's only
one way to find out, yeah.
Joey's here's my thing about hi-hats.
Yeah. Tambourines, you mean?
Or tambourines, sorry. Yeah, tambourines. Yeah. Tambourines, like, the only sort of, like, say, band from the modern era that I like the tambourine in, and it's actually a band that kind of predates our own band just by a couple of years.
Yeah.
Is in Husker Du Records.
Okay,
it's the only time it doesn't bug me. And everyone else, that I just feel like it's just done too much as a manipulation. And it's just this bright thing. I don't know. Like, it's kind of like using, like, oh, let's put a Hammond B3 on it.
Yeah.
Or something. It's like, I'm always like, I want to do it. I like the tambourine. Don't get me wrong. I like it.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like, I want it to be cool.
Day 5 has passed in a flurry of focused activity. Charles puts aside the evening to fine-tune the next batch of songs.
Okay, I think I'm going to go down to the writing hut.
The writing camp.
Yeah. I still have, I don't even know when I sit down at the computer, like, what next? I don't even know, like, there's like, I don't know where to, I mean, I always figure it out, I'm just saying.
You've got the Los Macheteros is in a kind of...
Yeah, I'm going to double check that one, though.
This is the one that's kind of next.
The Birdsy one. No?
Birdsy one. The joint kind of priorities in terms of, like, actual, like, things that need writing work. Birdsy one, and then...
Oh, that one, yeah. Right. Okay. Birdsy now, got it. I'll put those at the top of the pyramid.
Dreamland Diaries, Day 6.
It's December 6, which means it's David Lovering's birthday, 57 years young. He celebrates by going out for an early morning breakfast at the Phoenicia Diner, down my neck of the Catskill Woods, along with tour manager Simon and producer Tom. Charles was going to join us as well, but Tom, who's put the day aside for vocals, reports sighting the singer wandering the exterior studio grounds at 7 in the morning, loudly practicing his vocals for the day. Understandably, Charles has decided to stay focused on the songs at hand. Conversation at the breakfast table quickly turns from quality of the local trout to options for local Indian restaurants. For the first time since arriving at the studio a week ago, and in honour of David's birthday, the group is actually going to go out for dinner tonight, and Simon is keen to book a local curry house. His options make it pretty simple. There's only one in the area.
Shortly before 10 a.m., Tom and Charles sit down together in the control room, where Charles is finalizing lyrics on his laptop, and Tom is hinting at improvements by asking questions not just about the words themselves, but the titles too.
Is Whaleback Hill an existing place?
I don't know. I mean, it is, but I mean...
Yeah.
When people name a geographic feature after... The Camelback Hill.
Yeah.
Pineapple Hill.
Yeah.
You know, the Fred Flintstone Rock. You know what I'm saying? This is about the hill.
Yeah.
She's up on the hill. He's down. He's drowning. He's like, the tide's coming on the sandy neck.
This is the first time I've had the lyric in detail. I'm sorry.
Initially, Charles is defensive about the title, Whaleback Hill.
Whaleback Hill doesn't roll... that nicely.
Well, you know what? It's just going to have to roll for now.
Yeah.
Until something rolling comes along. That song's not a singer-songwriter-y kind of song. It's a vibe. It's just some words to go with the amps and the guitars and all that.
I know.
You see what I'm saying? Don't get all hung up.
I'm not hung up. I don't get hung up on things. Me?
But eventually, he comes around.
Graveyard Hill.
I mean... Yeah.
On a graveyard hill! Yeah!
It's more in line with the lyric.
With the cursed...
Yeah,
you're right. It matches better.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I wasn't offended by Whaleback. I wasn't thinking of the sword. I think whales. I think darkness. You know,
and Moby Dick.
But I hear what you're right. Touche.
Charles's willingness to act on Tom's suggestions indicates a really deep level of trust. Something you can't earn overnight. Maybe you've got to credit the fact that this is the first time since 1991 and Trompe Le Monde that the same four Pixies have gone into the studio with the same producer over consecutive albums. What that means is that both Paz on bass and Tom as producer are fully comfortable in their roles, and that frees up Charles to be comfortable in his role of trusting their instincts.
Paz is always right, and Tom's always right.
That's all you need to try.
Fucking drives me fucking crazy. Got two people... They're always fucking right.
Maybe that's the title of the record. Paz and Tom. Just remember, Paz and Tom are always right.
With the change in title settled, Tom and Charles move on to recording vocals.
We're doing a song called This Is My Fate.
This is my fate. Cross of the one arm. Wine that's fortified. Now to hate. Sun, crucifixion.
That's too getting too.
Two
Tom Waits.
Two Waits.
Yeah.
The horse.
Yeah. Let me just try a little more tone in it or something.
It can be. Make it more kind of staccato, you know, make it more like crucifixion or something like that, you know.
Even more Tom Waits.
Yeah. Like a different era. Just, you know, yeah.
In case you're wondering, Tom's not unaware of his delicate situation in the studio. It's something he discussed over a later conversation.
I always try to work with... I try to exclusively work with bands that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a cool thing, but it's also, it does mean you kind of find yourself in slightly kind of daunting situations sometimes, because you're like, oh my God, I love this band. And here I am sat in the control room mm-hmm. talking over the talkback going, I think you should cut that bit out or whatever, you know? So suddenly you kind of like feel very kind of aware of the situation you're in.
How you were doing those ending lines there with that kind of hiss in your voice. That's nice, because that's, you know, if we're just worried about over-weightsing it, maybe the kind of more hiss kind of approach kind of takes it away from that crucifixion.
Yeah.
You know, rather than crucifixion, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get away from the seal and more to the... The barking seal.
Let's just do one more all the way through. I mean, I've got tons and tons of good stuff here. Like, three takes ago, there was, like, one that was, like, that's pretty much it. I'm just looking for little extra nuances and, you know, drama.
This is my fate. This is my...
I've got everything I want from this low one.
Cool.
Happy now with the lead vocal on This Is My Fate. Charles doubles it up, warming to the task as he goes.
Well, I like where the new place this sort of just finally arrived at.
Yeah.
I think it's better.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, morning spirits, singing harmony. Borax mine works, valley of death.
Right. Okay. Sounds like you now.
This is my fate. This is my place. This is my fate. This is my place. This is my fate.
Yeah, it sounds good. I like it.
I love it.
Joey's guitar sounds awesome.
It's cool.
If This Is My Fate does stand out from other Pixies material, and it's fair to say there weren't too many Tom Waits references being made around Surfer Rosa, then Charles is insistent that such compositions have to arrive subconsciously.
If you try to say, I'm going to write this type of song, it's sort of like you still end up writing the other kind of song. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, he's been wanting these... They like pizzazz. They like up-tempo. They like aggressive. They like mm-hmm. whatever. I get it. Yeah, those could be your best moments. But it's like, can you give us a bit more of the spicy stuff? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try to do. And you end up doing another Creedence Clearwater country rock song or something. It's like, I don't know. For some reason, that's just all that's coming out of me right now. I can't. And then when you try to force it. So it usually seems like it kind of falls flat. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I see what you're trying. And all the ones where just like, okay, I'll give them one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you try to plan it and you try to, we're going to do that kind of thing before you even have the thing, it doesn't. It's like you just have things.
As the afternoon draws down, the other members stop by the control room. Joey Santiago, fresh from a shopping trip to the village of Woodstock.
coming to see how well it's grooving.
Well,
you tell him.
Lots of stuff grooving.
Joey's guitar sounded awfully good on the last track.
I was in Woodstock, man.
Come on, press play.
Country Joe told me not to do this.
Just play me there.
Did you see his shirt?
Joe, you're such a good tourist in these situations.
But I want on the other side, he goes like, take shrooms instead.
Yeah, yeah.
You might just be able to deduce what's on the front of Joey's shirt. It's a famous phrase from the original Woodstock Festival of 1969. Don't eat the brown acid. And Joey has it color-coded to a T.
I had to get it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I mean, I'm not a tie-dye kind of guy.
Is there a lot of tie-dye stuff?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You've always been partial to brown. I remember one time Joey had a real crisis one day. He discovered that everything in his entire apartment, every object, every article of clothing, everything that he owned, everything was a shade of brown.
Really?
Everything. There was nothing that was not a shade of brown. He was like, oh my God, it's like, everything in my world is a shade of brown.
Explains my depression that time. Like, I'm so fucking depressed.
We're officially in the neighborhood. We officially belong now.
What do you mean?
I got some incense.
It's back to work, with Charles focusing now on In the Arms of Mrs. Mark of Cain.
I'm in. Of Mrs. Mark of Cain.
What I want to do, I think this is quite an important double track type number. I'd like to comp what we've just done and then to get a really, really sort of tight double track on it.
Comping. That's the part of the producer's job where he or she takes maybe one really good line from one take, another line from another, a third from one more, and so on, and creates a master out of the combination. If that sounds less than fully authentic, well, it's long been the way of the studio world, and digital technology allows it to be seamless.
I'm not proud, but I know that I'm sane. Like a grouse who's resigned to the blame. If you doubt and you think I'm profane, I'm in the arms of Mrs. Mark of Cain.
You know what? I forgot how beautifully you double track, Charles.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tell me, let's swing it down.
Let's see if I can put some kind of double track effect on this.
While Tom pauses for an important phone call, Tony and Charles have a conversation in the lounge about audience expectations for a band like the Pixies.
You've got an audience. You want them to remain your audience, but they're also relying on you to not just suck up to them, right, to some degree.
I guess some people who are really good at sucking up, do you know what I mean? Then it becomes another kind of thing, and it's not really sucking up anymore. It's almost like they're really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good at going, I think I know what you guys want, and here it is. You know what I mean? They're good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if they didn't do that, if they tried to be something else, they would be dishonest, and the audience would see through it. Conversely, if you're not really that type and you were to try to start doing that to really sort of, I know what you need. I know what you want. I know. If you try to like play with that too much, then you come off as fake. And it's like, you're full of shit, man. You're trying to like, I mean, just be your usual, your thing. Okay. That's, you know, authenticity, whatever. People can tell. They want to see what makes you tick.
Yeah.
They want to have some sort of psycho-emotional
understanding or something, you know, even if they don't know what it is, they want to, like, they want to know that they're engaged with that. They want to know they're engaged with a psycho-emotional being.
It's probably fair to say that after a week of cooking their own meals, just a little bit of cabin kitchen fever has set in. And David's birthday provides the perfect justification for a group evening out.
Is it birthday time?
Almost. So Joey's
again,
gonna,
I feel awful.
Joey's going to drive you, Charles. I'm past.
This is just a dinner. It had nothing to do with my birthday.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right.
It's I don't not, celebrate
it's not,
birthdays.
It's not a birthday pie.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Dave, just do you like
curry.
Do you like people that you don't know singing you happy birthday at a dinner table?
Is that like your ultimate phobia?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or is it your ultimate joy?
Take a little more drink. That's all right. Take a little more drink. That's all right. Take a little more drink. That's all right. Take a little more drink. This is my feet. This is my feet.
Next week, it's a Pixies Podcast Episode 4, Hangovers, Sobriety, a Sit-Down with Joey Santiago, and a whole lot of hollering.
I haven't had any breakfast or coffee. Turn up the rocks and stay in the sail.
I check a bottle, set a fuck me prayer. I don't get the song yet. I don't understand it.
Do-do-do-do. What is going on?
Jesus fucking Christ, why can't I think straight?